Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Excuse me. I'm talent. I'm talent, sir. Unhand me.
With Joshua Briscoe.
They better put me in a damn throne.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I don't know if you know this, but the AFC Championship game is not very far away, both in terms of time and distance. It's at Arrowhead. I've been out at Arrowhead these last 3 days. Actually, 4 of the last 5. But these last 3 days have had a very different feel out at Arrowhead, because they have not been shoving us into the tiny little media room. They have been holding everything in Arrowhead, like the stadium proper. And so I've spent the last several days in the big media room and working from the press box and all of that. It's felt very championship-ish. For me, and I imagine for all of us in the media, I imagine for most fans as well, it feels like this week has taken a very long time. Mm-hmm. This week has been extremely busy for us. Way more people have talked than usual, and this is our last chance within Almost Entirely Sports to get you all of the audio you may have missed from this week and just continue table setting for this game. I feel like I've handled the Derrick Henry conversation. Again, if you missed that, you can always get all of Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Almost Entirely Sports. But also, there are elements of this, like with what the Chiefs are going to do offensively, what they do outside of Derrick Henry. I had somebody tweet me, I think Seth and Matt Verderam and maybe a couple others, like, hey, why is nobody talking about A.J. Brown? And I appreciate that tweet, because mm-hmm. I feel like that's coming from the correct place. We've been talking about A.J. Brown. In fact, Beards, do you have Tyrann Mathieu talking about A.J. Brown somewhere in your giant pile of audio? It's not – he doesn't give you the game plan. He doesn't throw that at you. But he does sort of set the
– Give me 1 second. I will have
it. It's definitely in my folder somewhere. It's fine.
I just didn't open it.
But, like, the point of that being the Titans have a 1,000-yard receiver as a rookie – who got there 20 yards at a time mm-hmm. as the second deadliest receiver in terms of yards per reception this season, and we've barely talked about him. How wild this week has been.
This is a little bit different subject. This previous draft class, like second round receivers,
yeah,
pretty unbelievable. Like the Chiefs could have went a lot of different directions in the second round, and honestly, they all probably would have worked out pretty well, because there's a lot of those guys have played really, really well this year.
And Brown is the one with some of the most impressive like mm-hmm. individual stat lines, and most, also some of those impressive highlights.
I've seen quite a bit of people like Pro Football Focus has mentioned this, and other draft people that were still like, how did he fall to the second round? Because most people had him projected as a first round pick, just like DK Metcalf, who also like his teammate who also fell the second round. Could you imagine that college, like your college team, having DK Metcalf and AJ Brown? They both were at Ole Miss together.
I don't know how hopeless covering them must have been. Also, why weren't they better?
Yeah, that's usually how especially when you get to like Ole Miss. So that's usually how those questions end. How weren't they better?
Why weren't you? Hi. You have two grown adult men.
Yeah, because that's the thing. They're not just good. Like, you look at both of them. Like, DK
Metcalf had too many muscles. That was the problem.
And A.J. Brown's no slouch in that area either. Like, A.J. Brown is stacked.
I mean, obviously, they just went in a new direction as far as coaching goes.
Yeah.
But
when he was on the field, he would run to, when he was running his routes or whatever, he would just run to the nearest set of dumbbells and just start going to work.
DK Metcalf's problem was that he would drop passes on purpose so we have an excuse to drop down and do push-ups.
Yeah.
That was his problem.
I like that.
I did ask Tyrann Mathieu about A.J. Brown, and someone else got asked about him today, and it like genuinely might have been the second time mm-hmm. that he was brought up to the Chiefs this week, which again is crazy, but there's a real love affair going on with Derrick Henry. And Tyrann Mathieu is not going to tell you how the Chiefs are going to beat A.J. Brown, although I asked, you know, what kind of impact does he have and how much attention do you have to pay? He wasn't going to tell me how they're planning on covering A.J. Brown and telling me the truth, which is that actually they're not worried about Derrick Henry at all, and they're going to devote all their time to stopping the passing game because it's 2020, and that's what we do now. He didn't say that, but he did help explain why A.J. Brown can be so deadly.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's a rookie, but he's a great receiver. I think he has a lot of potential, obviously. His production speaks for itself. I think the most important thing with him is when he catches the ball, tackle him. He's one of those guys, when he gets his hands on a ball, he can make a lot of people miss. So I think that's the part of his game that really separates him from most rookies and most wide receivers in the league.
So while some of that is, I mentioned earlier that occasionally Tyrann Mathieu can do a little quarterback speak
for
to
sure.
not give you too much and everything, there's a little bit of that in there, obviously. But also, I do think it's interesting that Mathieu like hones in on that specific part of A.J. Brown's game. Mm-hmm. I just found that a little surprising and pretty interesting. That and what that can continue to be, both for Tannehill and A.J. Brown, and certainly Derrick Henry, those are all guys that are going to be harder to bring down than you think.
Yeah.
And for Tannehill, it's more he's taking an opportunity that you weren't necessarily expecting him to take.
He's sneaky athletic.
Yeah, he really is. You know? He really is sneaky athletic.
Works hard.
He has such a high football IQ.
Grit.
Sweaty.
He has gritted out the last 8 years to get to where he is today.
Great locker room presence.
Fantastic.
Coach's kid. You know what Ryan Tannehill is? I'll say it. He's a gym rat. He loves the game. Ryan Tannehill's motor is crazy. I'm excited for draft coverage because we're going to get to go through all those again.
It's going to be great.
Ryan Tannehill thinks mayonnaise is too spicy. Go ahead, Mel Kiper. Say it. I dare you. I mean, obviously, all three of those guys have aspects of that in their game, but I know that this sounds like a cliche, but they actually do need to hit Derrick Henry and then have someone else come tackle him.
Yeah.
They actually do. If A.J. Brown catches a pass for 12 yards, that's fine. But if he shugs off Tarvarius Ward and then turns that into 60, that is a significant problem.
That's what you have to prevent. With A.J. Brown.
Ryan Tannehill might have a couple of scrambles, but whenever it picks up a first down on third and medium or third and long, that's when you have a significant problem. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I know this does not make me a great defensive mind here, but the Chiefs really do need to...
Better than Bob Sutton, I would say.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. They can't be giving anybody free yards.
Yeah.
You know? I say, oh, that play should have ended here. That's true. Mm-hmm. That remains true. And I do think it's worth mentioning with A.J. Brown and with kind of my inherent Derrick Henry skepticism as like the force of the Chiefs need to be most concerned by. I do think that can be immediately paired with, hey, the Titans at their most explosive have been very willing to throw the football.
Yeah.
And they've been good enough at it to actually like produce offensively.
They take
not
shots.
Just to win not just to win games where they go, oh, they need one play from their passing offense. No, they need to win a few.
Mm-hmm.
And right, they are willing to take some shots.
Like they have receivers who can stretch the field, and like that's what they're looking to do. Like it's you know, their offense doesn't necessarily operate in the way that you necessarily want an offense to run, where it is kind of like run pass. But when they do pass the ball, it's not, you know, third and five, we're just trying to gain 6 yards.
Yep.
It's, we're trying to get 30 on this play. This play, we're trying to go get 20. We're trying to go get 40. I mean, like, they are willing to throw the ball down the field. And when their offense is at their best, it's when those plays are working.
Two guys have talked about Andy Reid this week, and they've been asked about it. So, again, you know, this isn't all spontaneous. But Dave Tobe and Travis Kelce both, actually more than just them, but I thought their two answers were probably the best two, both talked about winning a Super Bowl for Andy Reid. Let's hear from Dave Tobe. Beards is on his phone. Beards, are you with me? Are we good? Are we going to be okay?
Dave Tobe, which one do you want?
Well, I really led up to it really slowly. I like I took the scenic route to that throw.
Listen, there was too much quarterback talk. I zoned out.
I saw you were looking at your phone, and I took the scenic route to Dave Tobe talking about what it would be like to win a Super Bowl for Andy Reid, and I talked about it for probably a good 35 seconds and stared at you.
Man, it's a good thing I have it ready to go, huh?
Prayed to God that you would look up from your phone. Just, here's what, here, you know what? New rule, all right? Hold on. Time out, everybody. Time out. Time out. We're going to huddle up. New rule. Whenever that happens, I just need Beards to freeze and just hold his phone up. Or just start reading from his phone verbatim.
It's like when a kid,
what were you doing?
It's like when a kid gets passed a note, pass a note in class, you have to read it.
Yes, yeah. Yes, that's it. We are here to, we are, I got a joke, guys. I got a joke, it's going to be real dumb. We are here that whenever Beards is on his phone, we are going to say no pass a notes.
You're right, that like was it. Dumb.
I know
I'm
it was dumb.
It, though.
We're here to say, ta, no passing notes in this class. Remarkably stupid. Yes, I know. I couldn't not say it, though. What was on Reddit, Beards? Some good stuff?
It was fine.
We're on the NBA subreddit?
No.
Fine. What subreddit just were you on, Beards?
Just the homepage.
Yeah? Anything good?
What was the most recent
really.
Thing?
What was the best thing you saw while you were doing that instead of listening to the show?
Nothing noteworthy.
Nothing at all?
Yeah. I didn't get that far.
You were dug in there for a pretty long time. Seems like you should have gotten some material.
Nothing great.
Nothing you could bring back for the show's sake?
Nothing great.
Okay. No dank Christian memes or anything?
No, not this time.
Did you find any audio from Dave Tobe?
I mean, I've thought about this a lot. You know, I mean, and Andy, nobody deserves it more than Andy. You know, and he's such a great coach. You know, to not have a Super Bowl win, you know, under his belt. I mean, this would be huge. I don't know if I'd stop crying with him. I'd probably hug him forever. And, you know, I'm just so proud of, you know, what he's done and everything he's done, you know, in his career. And he needs that. He needs this. He needs that.
A genuinely emotional, touching moment completely undercut by the sloppy way we got there. And you know what? I say we as like a collective, but that's unfair this time to me and Rudy.
I want to see that moment. I just want to see Dave Tobe and Andy Reid hug
dude,
each other, man.
That is, as I was sitting there and he was talking about
I
that's exactly
that.
What I thought. Was, man, how cool would that be to get to see?
I just want to watch those two just hug each other for like 10 seconds too long where it's all a little uncomfortable, but you love it.
But
you know?
Dave Tobe is crying and Andy Reid is, I don't know, drawing up a play.
Yeah, Andy Reid is
drawing
actually,
a play on his back.
He's on his back. He's like, back. Oh, I'm going to have to remember this for next year.
Yeah. I mean, I know that this is gonna pick up nationally if the Chiefs do win on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The everyone wants Andy Reid to win a Super Bowl narrative.
Yeah.
Is
and it's
going
not even
to
just
blow
with the
up.
Chiefs. There's like there are so many coaches on other teams because
oh, yeah.
he's the coach. Like he has coached longer than anybody who doesn't have a title
and,
like,
and
a Super Bowl championship.
For Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur, mm-hmm. those are two. Now listen, those opportunities come infrequently.
And far, yeah.
And
I mean, look how good Andy Reid is. Again, he might be the greatest offensive mind ever.
Oh, yeah.
He's been to one Super Bowl. It's and not like he's lost four. He's been to one.
Or even go to the most recent example of look like Sean McVay lost last year, and most people thought they'll be back
yeah,
soon, or
no
at least
problem.
An NFC Championship
yeah.
game again soon. They were tough this year mm-hmm. to watch. So not that Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur are locks to be right back. In fact, I think both of those teams have really significant questions, mm-hmm. Long term, if not short term, and hopefully we'll have a chance to dig into those over the course of the week, but next 2 weeks actually. But I just don't think
not
anyone
spend next week breaking down the Pro Bowl.
Probably not. No, okay. I think I'll probably skip straight to the Super Bowl if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't think anyone on the planet is going to say, man, it'd be great if LaFleur could win a Super Bowl in his first season or Shanahan in his. Is this
yeah.
his second? Or third?
Third. I think
okay.
it's third.
I knew it was
yeah.
two or I knew it was two or three. I don't think that particular bug is going to bite all of the NFL.
Yeah.
I think everyone wants to see that moment with Andy Reid. Hey Beards, next I want to play Travis Kelce talking about the same topic. It's like 5 seconds long. Yes, Rudy.
And I was going to say, with Kyle Shanahan, honestly, it's most of that sentiment, it's going to be a revolved around his dad.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's really not about him. It's about his dad. Because every time they talk about him, they show his dad.
Travis Kelce talked about the same thing today. He was asked a question about what it would be like to get Andy Reid back to a Super Bowl, and he actually paused for a few seconds, and then he gave this answer.
Just getting him there isn't the goal. Winning this thing for him is. I'll leave it at that.
And that was the end of his press conference. He walked off after that.
As you should.
It's pretty good, right?
That's how you end it.
It's pretty good. I know some of, for me, and I can be a skeptic and whatever, sometimes sports stories can be, there can be a corny element. If Andy Reid wins the Super Bowl, the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, all those guys that have been with Andy Reid for a long time, everyone who respects and understands Andy Reid and this whole thing is going to be really emotional. There'll be a little bit, I imagine, of almost relief to just get to Super Bowl if they do in fact win on Sunday. But then the next 2 weeks we're going to be talking about that, and rightfully so.
Yeah,
because it'd be an incredible moment
again. And Andy Reid's a unique person in this, where like, and this is not meant to be like some big shot at Belichick, but like Andy Reid has done so much for so many people. Like,
yeah,
he has taken so many, maybe just honestly like average to mediocre football players, coaches, and gotten them opportunities they probably never should. Like, and they, with anybody else, they may have never gotten. Like, he has made so many careers for so many people, and like we've seen him like recently with Bieniemy. He's fighting for this guy to get this guy a job when that's not his job. Like, nobody would blame him if he didn't care so much about like,
absolutely.
That. But he fights for these guys so much, and so there's so, and I think and so I think so many people out there respect him and for that alone.
Yeah. I just, again, we'll have time to talk about that, and I hope we have time to talk about that. One thing that I want to talk about very briefly here, because we got to get to Brooke Pryor of ESPN, formerly the Star, and then Mick Schaefer, and so we've got guests the rest of the show. So I don't know if we're going to talk about this any other time, but the Royals announced today that David Glass died. I imagine most people have heard that by now, but a couple of things struck me, and we have like literally a minute to do this, so we get to Brooke and everything, but. Whenever people die, especially people die old, you know, there is a sadness, obviously, but especially when you look at the last stretch of David Glass's life, his baseball team won 2 pennants and a World Series. He got to choose the person he wanted to hand the team over to. Yep. He added even more to his family's, we've had a technical thing. My headphones beeped. Everyone's headphones beeped. He had an influx of money to his family for the rest of their lives, generationally, forever. And so I totally understand there being a sadness about David Glass passing, because that happens with death. But the celebration of not only him keeping baseball in Kansas City and helping to bring a World Series and to bring a contender, I think there's also like a very real cause for celebration with the life that he had. And also, frequently, I think people die and then we start eulogizing them. Mm-hmm. We had a little bit of that for David Glass whenever he sold the team.
Yeah.
And I think that's something we could be better at, and something that's pretty cool to get to, again, kind of say the things about someone you would say after they went before they actually do. So I don't want to say it's a good death, you know, but it's a good conclusion to an excellent story of David Glass. So we need to take a break so we can talk more Chiefs stuff. But I did want to talk about Glass ever so briefly there. We'll talk to Brooke Pryor of ESPN about the Chiefs and their Super Bowl hopes whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I think it was Brooke Pryor that either asked him this or she tweeted it out first. She's on the show with us last week. If you missed it, go grab the podcast. It's good. We find out about her dirty car.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Many times over the last couple of years, we talked to Brooke Pryor of the Kansas City Star, but she's dead now. Much like old Taylor, she's dead.
I was going to say that.
Boom. I got it. It's Brooke Pryor of ESPN, the Entertainment Sports Network.
Whew.
Those are credentials. You can follow her on Twitter at B.E. Pryor. A lot of it is Steelers stuff now, but she's in town helping out our good friend Adam Teicher and doing a little extra Chiefs coverage because ESPN, I guess, wanted to just ring you for everything that you're worth.
I mean, you can't quit the Chiefs, though. Like, I needed my year to end in Kansas City because it started in St. Joe.
That's true.
And so I really needed to bookend it.
And everything in the middle
so
wasn't as good.
She's actually staying in St. Joe while she's
here. Yeah, exactly.
It's a commute.
I love the Fairfield
so much.
Yeah.
It is a very nice Fairfield.
I've never stayed in the Fairfield.
Well,
I've only stayed in Stony Creek.
Yeah.
Stony Creek. I didn't want to get that wrong.
Stony Creek,
great. Yeah.
Fantastic.
They hook us
up. Next year I will be on Latrobe, which we stay in
is
dorms
that
there.
Pennsylvania?
Oh, no.
It is.
Okay.
Latrobe is where Arnold Palmer is from.
Oh, okay.
I like his drink.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's
if
only ever made the drink is his only thing.
That's what I know him for. Yeah. What else did he do? Anything else?
Just drink things.
Okay.
Just
the media stays in dorms.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. There are no points in dorms, and like, that is my objection.
Do you have a roommate? Like,
I don't think so because I'm the only woman on the beat. So okay. That would probably cause some HR issues. So I solo room. That's exciting.
Yeah. Solo dorm room is. I would rather have a shared hotel room. I think.
Yeah, I haven't stayed in a dorm room since my freshman year of college. Yeah. Like 2010 is the last time I was in a dorm room. It'll be a solid decade later.
Well, that'll be a nice one. It'll be no St. Joe. Although, really, right now, we don't know that the Chiefs are going to go back to St. Joe, right?
Yeah.
That's still up in the air, technically.
Probably going to be there, but it's not. Yeah,
maybe
official.
They'll announce it during, I don't know, like some postseason celebration or something. Yeah. Like, we're bringing the trophy back to the city and training camp back to St. Joe.
It's coming back to
St. Joe. The AFC West trophy, or are the Chiefs going to hold on, everybody, win another football game or two this year? Brooke Pryor of ESPN. Your predictions have more weight to them
now. Do you
know
how stressful that is?
ESPN pundit and beat reporter.
Do you know how stressful it is? A, that my predictions, for some reason, carry more weight. But even more so is that they ask me to answer fantasy questions every week. Like, guys, you don't
really
want to see my standings.
Okay.
It's so... I finished last in my league this year.
So
I literally won the toilet bowl.
Next year, Josh, when we have the AES league, we obviously need help. We should ask Brooke questions.
I think we should make Brooke draft the team, and we guarantee to not be last.
I like
this. It was so bad. Because I draft guys that I know and cover, because then I'm more invested in them. But, like, sometimes it doesn't work out well.
She just drafted the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
And Big Ben gets hurt, and
Mason Rudolph was literally my quarterbacks were Patrick and Ben.
That worked out fine, though.
Yeah, no, there definitely weren't a couple weeks there in the middle where neither one of them played.
I mean, sure.
And I was like, how about Mariota? Nope, not him either. Let's go.
Oh, man. Part of me does want to talk to you about what the Pittsburgh experience was like this year, but I also imagine it to be largely sad.
We had a lot of ducks. If you just want to quack for a little bit.
Oh, that's good. Did you ever master a duck call? Did you ever have to do a duck call?
No,
did you ever
do
a duck call on ESPN?
No.
You work for them now, you know.
I do. But you know what? I'm so mad because I never thought to duck call on the air. I only talked about him making duck calls.
You would have your star would have risen even faster if you would have doing some NFL Nation hit or whatever, and then just busted out a duck call.
That just seems like a gif that I don't need to have in my repertoire.
But you do though.
You know what though? There's still time. Training camp. He'll be there. I would assume. I don't know that he'll be on the roster after that.
Yeah, that's fair.
But there's still time for a duck call story. OTAs, mini camp.
This is here's an actual Chiefs question that only you can answer.
Oh boy.
How cool is Dan Sorensen? No, we'll talk about Dirty Dan at some point. But you like you said, you're here through training camp and I mean we did this show during training camp. It's not like we haven't talked about the Chiefs in so long. But is there anything that is either different or surprises you from training camp to what you're seeing now?
No, that's a really good question.
Well, thank you, Brooke. I'm professional.
You're a professional question asker.
I really am.
I'm trying to think what is different. You know who I was really impressed with was Damian Williams. Because when he got here last year, I really enjoy talking to guys that you kind of have to, get them to open up and coax them into, wanting to talk to you and wanting to build a relationship with them.
Yeah.
And he and I got to a good place by the end of the season. But then coming in and seeing him on the podium, 2 days ago he went or yesterday he went?
This week has been a month, but I think it
really has been. But he was so good and so open, and especially when he was advocating for Bieniemy. I mean, I did a story on him when he signed with the Chiefs and came to training camp. Bieniemy was a huge influence in his life as far as Bieniemy kind of sat him down and was like, look, I'm not going to take any BS from you, As Damian said yesterday, he was like, I'm going to ride you and I'm going to keep you in line. And Damian's like, you're right. That's exactly what I need. And especially when I left training camp, Damian had been hurt for a lot of it. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, is Carlos Hyde going to be the guy? No. Then it was like, oh, well, is LeSean McCoy going to be the guy? No. But Damian, I've loved watching just kind of the trajectory of his season. Mm. You know, he gets hurt. You don't see him as much. And I was kind of thinking, gosh, this guy is so injury prone. This just stinks. He has a really good story, a really good work ethic, a good guy. And so I'm happy to see him where he is right now and being a super important part of this team.
And so in the Dan Sorensen article that you wrote for ESPN, like it has the words Dirty Dan in the headline.
Isn't that so good?
It's so good.
I put that in there as a suggestion. I was like, there's no way that's going to get through. That causes some SEO problems. But you know what?
Point. It's there.
They were cool with it.
It's there. And I've made this admission last night, this morning. I don't know. I can't remember. This week's been a month. This month has been a month.
Month has been a year.
No truer words have ever been spoken.
That's true. Like that. Technically, I nailed that. there's been a lot going on. We made jokes in St. Joe about how being in St. Joe is like being on the water planet in Interstellar, where it's just like you're there for 3 minutes, but actually 6 years have passed.
Yeah, no, wow.
Yep.
Oh, I think I just aged thinking about that.
Yeah. This hasn't been like that. This week has just been... You're here, and you're here, and you're here, and you're here, and they're talking, they're talking, they're talking, they're talking. And it's fun, but I am frazzled more than usual, which I know is hard to believe. So anyway, at some point within the last 24 hours or so, I was talking about Dan Sorensen, and I had to make the admission that, like, honestly, I've had to adjust my expectations and beliefs of Dan Sorensen because I have had, and frankly, would continue to have, very negative feelings towards Dan Sorensen, number one or number two safety. But Dan Sorensen, the guy that Steve Spagnuolo uses to allow Tyrann Mathieu to do honey badger things, like, or to be a special team stopper that's reading everything going on, I need to acknowledge his value in that spot, and this year's been very, very good for that. So in your article and talking to him and everything, what did you learn about Dan Sorensen, and how true is that for you that maybe there's a reevaluation of him going on?
No, it's definitely a reevaluation because I'm pretty sure in my roster projections over the summer, especially once we got into training camp and preseason, I mean, Juan Thornhill was a stud. He was a stud all year. And I will be the first to admit, I'm pretty sure I cut him because he...
Cap hit was pretty big.
It was like a $4 or $5 million cap hit.
Easily cuttable.
They need space. Right.
I was in the same exact boat.
Exactly. So it was very strange when my editors were asking me to pitch stories after the AFC or after the divisional game. I was like, I mean, Dan Sorensen's kind of the X factor here. Like, Dan Sorensen could literally be the thing that gets them to the Super Bowl. And that is mind-blowing. That is not a thing I thought I would have written in August. But yeah, I mean, I think what Spagnuolo said, I think it was Spags, said in his presser that Dan is the most steady guy he's ever been around.
Yeah.
And I think that's so accurate. And him just kind of being steady, always being there, lets Honey Badger go off and do his Honey Badger things and kind of ride the waves of emotions that come with him and his ability to freelance and make really good plays. But then you have this, weird to say, sure thing in Sorensen back there.
Right.
Like, I mean, could you just think back to the safety situation last year? And it's like, well, Eric Berry's there. And then I guess we've got Dan Sorensen. He's a body.
Yep.
But like now he's a legitimate reason to think that the Chiefs have what it takes. And I mean, he's going to be huge in trying to stop Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
It's crazy that he's now that important.
And I don't. He's a terrible Band-Aid and like a very good weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of crazy because you would think that you would have more guys who would fit the inverse of that. Like, you know, if you need to put Armani Watts back there as a Band-Aid or whatever, maybe you can stop the bleeding and get by. But Dan Sorensen is just like a knife. Like, this is not going to heal anything, but you can make some cuts with
this. You can do some damage.
He had that interception of Phillip Rivers.
Twice he did that. Mm-hmm. Two games he ended Phillip Rivers and the Chargers.
Dan Sorensen just has Phillip Rivers' number.
You know, I mean,
white man on white man crime.
My hands are in
his hands are they're very white. You know, Frank Clark talked about it after the game last game. And just like, and he was as super serious as I've seen him on anything. Just like, no, like this is what we expect him to do. Like, he's one of our better players. We expect him to make plays. Like, we're not surprised by it. This is like him not playing. Him playing any lower than this level is disappointing to us.
Which is just crazy. Especially, I mean, my first impression of Dan Sorensen was when he got hurt in training camp 2 years ago and that kind of fluke injury that put him on IR. And I was just like, I mean, who is this guy? He gets hurt in a training camp practice. Like, and this is who, you know, we're hanging hope on to come back. Yeah. Oh, we're also hanging a hope on Eric Berry to come back. We've just got a situation back here. But he has become so important to this defense. And then, I mean, not to mention special teams. I think he's Dave Tobe. Like, if you had to survey, ask Dave Tobe, like, who's your favorite special teams player, it's Dan Sorensen, and then it's everybody else.
It has to be. He was asked several times this year, and I'm sure you remember last year, Tobe having, like, the point system and everything. I want to say that this year was, like, Armani Watts 1 and Byron Pringle 2 or whatever the point system is.
Yeah.
But you cannot stop a fake punt, force a fumble on a kickoff, the ball pops into Darwin Thompson's hands, and he freaks out. He just starts, like, high-stepping. You cannot be that effective and that smart in that moment and not be a special teams coach's best friend.
That's his, like, end-of-the-year extra credit after you take the final exam.
Yes.
You're like, oh, I really need to, like, round up from a B to an A, or, I mean, maybe a C to a B if you're, like, some of us in this room. It's definitely never happened to me.
Doesn't sound like
But, like, he really is, though. He's such an effective special teams player. He played 108 snaps.
It's crazy.
I like, pitched the story before snap counts came out, and then I texted Teicher, and I was like, what do you think about the story? Like, I'll admit I didn't, like, pay close attention to every snap that Sorensen was on the field. He's like, no, I think that'd be good. And then the next day I checked it, and I was like, he played all those snaps on defense and special teams? Wow. But he, you know what he told me? He said, you know, I asked him how difficult it's been with the defense, him, you know, not being a starter, only coming in special situations. How difficult is it to stay engaged when you're in that spot? And he's like, yeah, it's really hard because you get out of the flow of the game. It makes it harder on special teams.
Yeah.
But he said for him, this last game, playing all the snaps on defense and then getting to also play special teams, he was just in the zone the whole game. And I think that's one of the reasons why he was so locked in and sniffed out that fake punt.
That's really interesting because you typically ask guys about that kind of thing. You're like, oh, it's no big deal. I could do anything, anytime, wherever. But to get an answer that's kind of that honest is really interesting. What about the rest of the defense altogether? Whenever you look at, again, like where they were in training camp, and then, you know, you abandon us for ESPN. Fine, it's fine.
It's a small startup.
Yeah, it's like, cool. It just sort of feels like maybe you should have, I don't know, appreciated.
Just
you know,
trying to,
us
you know,
more.
I'm trying to help raise their profile.
That's good.
So.
That's really big of you. Yeah, you're here.
Somebody's got to do it.
So
might as well be me.
But whenever you look at how the defense has evolved and all together, and you look at what Steve Spagnuolo is, I mean, think back to training camp and even mini camp before that. Whenever we heard Charvarius Ward and Anthony Hitchens be like, yeah, man, that dude who was here last year was confusing as hell. I was lost most of the time, and these guys have been great so far. How have you seen that thread continued to this point?
You know what's been really cool is seeing, I remember talking to Tyron in the preseason, and this was when like he was hurt and stuff, and he said, hey, it's going to take a long time for this defense to gel. And I forget how many weeks he said. I feel like it was between like the 5 and 8 mark. But like, look, we're not going to be great from the beginning, which I was so sold in on. I felt like I kept repeating myself all preseason, being like, guys, the defense doesn't look good now, but like they've got to gel. They've had guys hurt. They're trying to figure out a whole new system. And so to see it all finally come together after the Titans game, then it was finally like, okay, you know, this is what I thought it would look like all along. So it feels like I just get to say I told you so over and over again. And I feel like I get a lot of things wrong. And so to be like, no, I knew it was going to take a long time. I didn't know it was going to take quite this long. But like I'm happy to see them have gelled the way that they gelled. You know, it's been interesting. You know, you mentioned talking to some of the guys that were like, yeah, I mean, we did not know what was going on last year.
Yeah.
I've talked to Steven Nelson quite a bit in Pittsburgh.
Oh,
that's right.
And you know what?
Totally
he's had
that.
Such a good year.
Yeah.
It's a little bit surprising he didn't make the Pro Bowl, which is just a crazy sentence to say after a year ago.
Yeah, he fell off my radar after a few weeks.
No,
the Steelers were flying off my radar a little bit.
I remember seeing him pop up occasionally just like, basically, he was happy again. Kansas City.
Oh, I heard some of that, but I didn't know how well he was playing and everything.
Yeah.
He's
so
playing really. I mean, he's
year.
A shutdown corner.
Yeah.
I forget what his ratings were, but he was one of the more higher rated corners in the league. And he said too, you know, it's nice. He was on a defense this last year that was the reason if they were winning, they were winning because of the defense.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he was just talking about what kind of a difference that was from what it was like a year before when the defense was kind of the scapegoat for everything that was going wrong.
Yeah.
It was all on them. He's doing really well in Pittsburgh. He's super happy. We talked about crystals the other day. He is very into them. He has a spiritual number. It's 9.
That's awesome.
Stay tuned for a story on ESPN.com about that at some point. But we had, because I thought the Steelers, there was a chance the Steelers were going to play the Chiefs in the wild card. Mm-hmm. Obviously, some things happened.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you lose to Baltimore in week 17, you lose to the Jets, and it just, you know, all falls apart when your quarterback's named Duck, and, you know, we all know.
Yes.
But just in case.
When quarterback's named Duck, that does happen.
Right. Just in case things fall into place, I was like, I'm going to talk to Steven. Just, let's just catch up. And he had some really interesting things to say. He got into crystals this summer, and it kind of helped him, I don't know, de-stress, and he got very spiritual, so he's crystals. In a really good place.
Crystals made him good.
Yeah. All right, so if I could just clear the floor. Listen to Sports Radio 10 WHB here in Kansas City. Your home for the NFL playoffs, your home for the Chiefs. We'll have the Westwood One call of the game with Kevin Harlan here on Sunday. Pre-game will go from 7 p.m. up until kickoff. Post-game will go from the end of the game until time immemorial. Lots of Chiefs continuing here on 810. Tell me about Steven Nelson and crystals, please. Like, can you, and the spiritual number of 9?
So I need to go back and re-listen to my interview to know all of the details. Mm-hmm. But I'm almost positive he told me that he started to get into, like, crystals and spirituality after he went to, I don't know if it was a psychic in California, but he had some
this story meeting has layers
in California, and then it was followed up by his real estate agent. I think it was when he was looking for a new house, was also into spirituality, and that kind of also led him to this path.
Spirituality in like the crystal sense and the number sense.
You know what, though? He's not the only one. He and Cam Sutton, they both have their lockers next to each other in Pittsburgh, and they both have crystals in their lockers.
I know Danica Patrick's huge crystal person, so I assume Aaron Rodgers
has some in his
house as well. I was
just
going to
say, does that mean
Aaron
Rodgers is into crystals? Because I feel like a true story
coming. He's at the very least crystal adjacent.
Like. And he's getting all the benefits, right? Yeah. How far do you have to be from crystals?
Yeah.
Right, so even if he says he's not a believer,
he's got them in his house.
He's a game away from the Super Bowl,
with
a first-year head coach.
That's
so, tell me that the crystals don't work.
He could at least be reaping the benefits of the crystals by being just that close. I thought you said Dan Patrick at first, and I was like, that's a real surprise.
I don't know. Maybe it makes sense.
He might too.
All right. Okay.
There's always the possibility.
I'm not here to.
You know what? I'm going to Miami, and so I think I'm just going to start asking people how they feel.
How many crystals do you own?
How do you like crystals?
How do you like them? Over easy, hard boiled, poached.
Are you like only crystals like in earrings, necklaces, in your locker? What do crystals do for you?
Crystals, the new fab to take over the NFL.
I mean, I think it's happening already.
I mean, I have like a Himalayan salt lamp. Is that a crystal? Does that count?
I mean, it's a salt lamp.
They look similar.
Why? Okay, question.
I would say your next conversation with Steven Nelson, that's what you
bring
up. That's
a great point.
Perfect.
That's good.
He would know.
OTAs.
Yes.
Steven, I got a Himalayan salt lamp.
Does this count? Is this a crystal?
Find
out what the basic starter crystal is. If it's not, like, hey, I'm trying to
get a question.
I need a starter crystal, what's my starter package crystal here? What do I, like, what do you start off with?
You make some really good points.
Why did you buy a Himalayan salt lamp?
Because a BuzzFeed list said I needed it. Like, here are 30 things that will make you a better adult for under $35. Cool. Himalayan salt lamp. It's also technically a nightlight, but the bulb burned out. And so I think, like, you have to have light that goes into it that then casts off a glow and good vibes. So it's just plugged into the wall, turned off.
Every time I think that we have a chance of, like, digging out of some of the millennial stereotypes that I so often have heaped upon me. Then you admit to buying things off of a BuzzFeed list of 30 things under $30 that will make you a better adult. Which, by the way,
I mean, I've got her to ESPN, so it obviously works.
That's true.
If you buy it before
ESPN?
Yeah, I've had it for like 2 years.
See, the come up started. She got the job with the Star, then ESPN. The come up started with the salt crystal.
I'm just going to buy everyone Himalayan salt lamps for Christmas.
This is the new thing.
You should. Okay, I have one more salt lamp question.
Okay.
Because I know what my answer would be. Have you licked it?
No, I haven't. But I have purchased
thing I did.
Himalayan pink salt before and used
sure.
it on popcorn.
Say, oh, Himalayan
salt. So I assume that it,
is great.
I should just get a grater and grate it and then put it on my popcorn.
I would have licked it before I plugged it in. I mean, I
as long as you wouldn't lick it while you plugged it in, because then we'd have to have another conversation.
Eventually, I would have done that also.
I don't doubt that one bit.
Yeah, no. I just sometimes it's like, hey, does everyone think about this, or is this kind of a me thing?
You're
and
just
I guess
running
licking
low.
A salt lamp is kind of a me thing.
You're just running low on salt, and you're like, hey, maybe if I just pop popcorn in my mouth and lick it, I'm getting the same.
Yeah, or your sodium content gets low and you need a boost.
I'm intermittent fasting, but I need a little salt. I need a little salt
a little
fix.
Something.
Lick.
I would think that sound, licking a
you know what? I'm going to go home and I'm going to see it plugged in my kitchen.
It'd be so tempting. It'd be so tempting.
I'm going to look around and make sure that Teddy's not home.
Yep.
And that the dogs are not seeing me do this because I don't want to set a bad example.
Oh, you're
just a quick lick.
I feel like if your dog licks it, it's definitely going to be a thing. Like,
oh, yeah. Well, Hootie, he loves like bananas and
your
clementines.
Your dog seems like a nightmare.
He really is, though. He shredded a weighted blanket the other day, and now there's sand all over our living room.
No. Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah. Did you know that weighted blankets were weighted down with sand? Because
I did not. I honestly didn't.
Mine has little tiny glass beads, I believe.
Well, Pittsburgh is now on the coast because there's enough sand to make a beach. Just
that's horrible.
Yeah. No, I'm not. It was cow print. Now I don't have it.
Cow print?
Yeah, I also got it off a BuzzFeed list on Amazon.
Oh, my. How many things did you buy off this list?
A lot.
Did you buy all 30?
My thought was like, what's 30 times 30? 30 times 35, whatever.
Yep. I have been a frequent visitor of those lists.
ESPN money coming through strong.
You get Himalayan salt lamps
before
and weighted blankets.
It was the 15 items under $15.
That's
now
hour,
she's upgraded to that 30 under. Yeah,
that's good.
Look at me now.
That's come good. I like this show so much. So back to the Chiefs defense. I just like how that goes sometimes. We are, I don't know if you're aware, Brooke, the AFC Championship game is here in a couple of days. I don't know.
Is that why I'm here?
It's hard to know for sure. But we've talked about the defense, and you've written about Dan Sorensen, and I don't want to talk about Antonio Brown. I just think it's too much. I just don't want to do that to either of us right now, because it's just too hard for me to navigate at this point. Because there's funny stuff and there's not funny stuff.
It's very sad.
It started out being funny and it rapidly lost its hilariousness.
And the songs ticked back to hilarious again, and then the last thing ticked it back the other direction.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. Really, I think we're all the victims here as the media. So we don't know, can we laugh or not? It's really up to
us. We just have to laugh by ourselves and then pray about it and ask for forgiveness.
You have to get that bad energy out with your crystals.
Yeah.
And you can go back to laughing about it. But listen, I mean, I don't want to say I'm tired of talking about Patrick Mahomes, because that's an absolute lie. That's absolutely not true. But I'm out of questions to ask about Patrick Mahomes. Everyone, I mean, most people we talk to regularly, talk to you once in a while. But again, we haven't talked to you here since training camp. So you
I have fresh perspective.
You've got a fresh perspective. You watched a quarterback named Duck for a while.
You saw three different quarterbacks this year.
I did. I've also seen Paxton Lynch practice.
Oh, Paxton Lynch was there for a while? Oh,
he's on the was on the practice squad, and then he got bumped up to the active roster after Ben's injury.
Does he look like a tall pirate? Is that accurate?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
I don't mean that as an insult.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yes.
I think that's the actual winner was like, looks like a waiter at a pirate-themed restaurant. That one's a little less. I don't want to put you in that position, but you agreed so hard with the pirate, the tall pirate.
But that's it, though. It's taken me this long to put all that together.
Yeah. Well, now you have that.
He looks pillaging like a lot of Paxton. Things.
It was really weird when he showed up the first day of practice wearing a pirate hat, but like
the eye patch.
But
really,
we
really
went with
just
that. Well, explain
put
some
it
of the throws.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But so you
perception's a little off.
You've been through the Mason Rudolph, Doug Hodges, Paxton Lynch trilogy this year on some level.
Sure have.
With a little Ben Roethlisberger so long ago that I don't remember when he got hurt or whatever. I've forgotten
two.
Who he
it's
is.
It's week two. I can tell you that. It's in my brain.
Matters more to you probably in your day-to-day life.
Mostly.
I had kind of written him off as being largely washed, and also I didn't appreciate Mike Tomlin nearly enough, and now I appreciate both of them much more after this season and off season. Yeah. Yeah, I think Mike Tomlin's a good coach.
You know what? In the beginning of the season, I said that Mike Tomlin was on a warm seat. Like, not a hot seat, but they started off 0-2, and I was like, ooh, yikes.
Yeah.
And then he, like, almost coached him to the playoffs, again, with a quarterback named Duck. Mm-hmm. And we learned all the AB stuff that he's been dealing with.
I think Mike Tomlin handled Antonio Brown really, really well, actually.
Turns out he knew what he was doing. Yeah. It's so weird.
It seems like he may have powered Antonio Brown off and then just brought him out of the closet for Sundays. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like I don't know what else you could have. Like, it's gotten so bad. Anyway, you watched a quarterback named Duck.
Yeah.
And now I'm sure you've kept an eye on Patrick Mahomes. But in the playoffs,
I watch him and cry. I used to have it so good.
The one article a week wrote itself.
It was just
now I'm on
autopilot.
Duck but whenever you look at what the Texans game was, we don't have to rehash the Texans game. I get it. Mm-hmm. But you watch the Texans game with the second quarter that goes, oh, that reminds me of an offense I watched last year. Mm-hmm. Even as the offense this year kind of had its ups and downs, mm-hmm. obviously the kneecap and the injuries all throughout the season and all of that. Is there anything different about Patrick Mahomes? Is the line now drawn from last year's production to where we are this year? Does that adjust your expectations going through the next two games, at all? Or what is that? What's the Patrick Mahomes story been like for you in kind of these different points of contact?
I mean, I think he's always been a super confident guy, but I am really enjoying him embracing that even more. Like, seeing him last week, I think he posted, or somebody posted, I think it was in the second quarter, he might have thrown a touchdown and just, like, put his arms out. And it was, like,
He did the 19.
When he did that, and then people, I want to say he Instagrammed it with, like, the "Are you not entertained?" or somebody else did, but I was just like,
it was when he picked up the first. It might have been a third down. He scrambled out, picked up the first down. And then as he went out of bounds, he, like, dropped the football.
Right?
Hands went out.
There's a survey that came out that he's one of the top 10 most well-mannered celebrities.
Which is such a weird list that exists.
It's from the Junior League Cotillion, based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Fun fact.
What is a cotillion?
Should I know what a cotillion is?
I feel like you should. That feels like a homeschool thing.
It absolutely does.
It does.
Like, the cotillion is made up of homeschool kids. Like,
homeschool kids wearing white gloves.
Yes.
But I think, because we're so used to seeing him, at least off the field, be so humble and lots of humility and very, very polite and just, like, deflecting and stuff like that, to see him really embrace those moments on the field has been so cool to see those, like, holy crap, like, that was really good. And then he acknowledges that it was really good. Or, like,
when he looked at the official, the counting.
I love that. I love seeing like, a little bit of him being cocky. Mm-hmm. He's just like, yeah, you freaking should be cocky. Like, do you know how good you are? Like, I'm that cocky when I play pickup basketball and I'm terrible. Like, I have no reason to be, but, like, I drain a shot. I'm like, oh, look at that, Kobe.
Any three I've ever hit in a pickup basketball game,
like, the finger comes up over the eye. Yeah. I'm holding up the threes.
Right.
I'm hitting the three fingers into the head routine. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I'm a big, like kind of like, do you do the bow and arrow or sharpshooter kind of thing?
Pull that bow out.
Mahomes has every reason to do that after, like, every single play, and he obviously doesn't because he has restraint, unlike all of us here.
I wonder what that's like.
I would never know. But now he's, like, kind of loosening up a little bit. And it's like, hey, yeah, this game is really fun, and you're really good, and so, like, you should just lean into that.
Yeah.
And he is. Mm-hmm. And, like, last year where it felt like the playoffs are, like, you're drinking from a fire hydrant, and it's just, like, things are flying at you a million miles a minute, and it felt like, I think he felt like that a little bit because he talked about the speed. Mm-hmm. As a writer, last year was my first NFL playoff run, and it just, those days just fly by. But now I feel like it's slowed down enough for him that he can enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And I even said to my friend during the first quarter of last week's game, I said, look, I know that they're down a lot, but if any team can come back from this hole, it's this team. Like, if any one player can bring them out of it, it's Patrick Mahomes. Like, any other team, I don't trust them to do it.
Yeah.
But I said, not only can this team come out of this hole, I think if they come out of this hole, they're going to win the Super Bowl, which I don't do, like, takes, like, hot takes like that.
Yeah.
But it just, I don't know, it just felt like that was the moment, like, okay, yep, I know how this ends. and we're going to remember this quarter, and it's going to be super important for the rest of their postseason.
Like, if they tripped up, that's the game it would have happened, but they bounced
back. But they didn't,
and
now like they're superhuman.
So they're going to beat the Titans by what, 40?
I mean, I have seen Derrick Henry play before, so I'm not going to...
28?
I mean...
24? What happens, Brooke? You tell me.
Remember how we said that my predictions have so much more weight now?
Yeah.
That's really scary.
Yeah, well.
I think it's.
Sorry,
depends.
Hold on.
A scary place.
Brooke Pryor of ESPN.
I think it all comes down to how many seconds Mike Vrabel planks before the game. The longer he planks, the closer the score.
That's pretty good. What if Andy Reid just did that before the game? He's just holding it. Just, and you're like, he's been there for 7 minutes.
I would
what
fall
is
over. I would literally like fall
Andy Reid
over.
Got here last night. He has not moved.
Yeah. If we had Vrabel and Andy and a plank off, can you imagine?
Oh, I would just see them have a series of competitions. Like, whatever
would
that
watch.
Would be. Yeah, absolutely.
An eating competition, a plank competition, push-ups.
Arm wrestling. Chess. Haven't played chess.
Oh, yeah. Checkers, too.
Yes. Vrabel would win checkers and Reid would win chess.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah. That's running the ball versus throwing it.
Oh, my gosh. I think we're really on to something.
So Chiefs by 30?
Again, how many seconds is Mike Vrabel going to plank?
7.
Then the Chiefs win by 7 points.
You can follow Brooke on Twitter at BE Pryor. And I mean, look, you want me to plug ESPN? Get out of here. Follow Brooke on Twitter. That's it. That's the segment.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.